back about 3 weeks ago, I was in a space and still working through this space where I had a lot on my mind. I had a lot. I was very busy. I had a whole full agenda of things to do. I had to come and pick something up from the church, which was not on my agenda, and therefore was just an extra thing that I had to do. And as I came, I got it, and I went away, and I was feeling that feeling that you have where you're feeling rushed, and you feel like there's a list of things to do that's a mile long. You're wondering how you're going to get through that. You're possibly thinking, how's this going to work? And so I went out down the road, you get to the roundabout, and you go out on towards Hartman Drive here, and I needed to turn right. And so I looked up, and there's no cars on the inside lane of the right. So I get across to the middle, still no cars, and I went. There were some cars going down the left-hand side, moving faster. So I just pulled into the right lane and started to work through my gears down towards the roundabout. And as I did that, I looked in the rearview mirror, and the truck that was coming in the far left obviously needed to turn right as well. He'd pulled in behind me. He hadn't really pulled in behind me. He'd pulled in halfway across the lanes. And so he's sitting across the lanes in my rearview mirror. I look, and he's obviously wanting me to be a little bit faster down towards the roundabout than what I was. So I'm feeling flustered now. I've got all these things I need to get done. Now I'm starting to feel flustered. And so he then goes around me and gets straight in front of me. And as he do that, I can see in his side mirror, he's just letting me know about his frustration with my driving and my speed up to that roundabout. And in that moment, something just clicked. I wanted to tell him that I was going around the corner. And that's why I was in the right. So I start gesturing back to him. I'm going around the corner, mate. I'm going around the corner. To which he looked in the rearview mirror and thought that I was saying hello to him in another language. And so he rose to the challenge and let me know what he thought about me. To which then I responded back to him, and I was frustrated with that situation. As we went round the roundabout and we started to head up Nangara, just that feeling, I thought, this is not the person that I want to be. This is not the way I intend to respond. This is not who I espouse to be, but this is the space I'm finding myself. I'm snappy, I'm responding frustrated, I'm angry, and I'm just in this space. And maybe you haven't had it in the car situation. Maybe you've been in another situation, like in a team situation, and there's busyness happening and there's an agenda that needs to happen, and someone responds in a way that kind of knocks that agenda around a little bit, and you're frustrated and you just lash out and respond with something back that is not helpful, but you're just frustrated. Or maybe you don't respond back. Maybe you just go away from that situation and it stirs in your heart and you're frustrated and you dwell on it and you're more passive about it and you just go, and you just stir in that. Or maybe you're in a place where you're so busy and so on things ongoing around the house and around your job and around other spaces that you're actually numb to what other people are saying, and you realize that you've been through 4 conversations and you haven't actually heard a word that anyone has said. I don't know if you've ever felt any of those emotions that I've just shared with you, but they're pretty common to the human life at the moment in a place where we are rushed, we've got too much on, we're trying to do too much, we're trying to achieve more. And we're in a space where we're responding out of a place that's definitely not peace. And we read the scriptures and it says that Paul encourages us to be people who live in the peace that transcends all understanding. And so we want to talk about that today. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. And I want to read you the scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, when I realized that we were preaching on peace today, and I know where I am personally in my life in this space, I thought, gee, it would have been good if someone else preached on this today. It would have been good if someone actually who's dwelling in this right now could preach on this. So I'm not preaching today as someone who's got this under control. I'm preaching as this as someone who is deeply in need of resting in the peace of God. So let's unpack this scripture together. You know, as we think about this word peace, if you go to a dictionary, you're going to find something about peace that says this: peace is of societal friendship and harmony in the absence of hostility and violence. We all understand that's what peace is, when two sides agree and two sides don't move and they're in the same space where they have connection together. That's peace. That's how we have world peace, when two nations stop fighting. But I think as we read this, we understand, and we've been reading the scriptures a while, that Paul is talking about something far deeper than societal peace. You see, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. It's a church that's in Macedonia. It's a church that is in a place where Philippi is a Roman outpost. There is a lot of ex-soldiers there. They're very patriotic. And so the Christian world experiences a lot of persecution in that place. And this letter is written after they've taken up a collection for Paul, who's in jail. And now he's writing back to them saying this encouragement in this space. And so as we read this, if it's about the societal peace that we read about in a dictionary, well, then we're expecting the Roman soldiers to stop persecuting the church. Well, they can't do anything about that. Stopping not violence towards the church is not really in the Roman soldiers' culture or in their psyche. It's just part of what they do at this time. They're persecuting the church. So he's speaking about something that's far deeper than just about stopping what's happening to you and stopping what's around you. He's actually talking about something that is far deeper and resides in us in the midst of the hurly-burly that we call this life. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, this idea of peace is shalom. The word is shalom, and it means wholeness or a wealth of health. It means something that's a whole lot more holistic than just a state with another person. The New Testament talks about it in this way, and if I can read this to you, it says, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. The state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot or of whatever so sort that is. So it's at a space where we have peace, where we are comfortable in the presence of God, not fearing his response to us, but comfortable in his fathership, comfortable in his relationship with us, but also comfortable with the content of our life, being content with the space that we're in, whether that be something that's smooth or something that's rough. We are content in that space because of the relationship or the comfort that we have with the Father. That's kind of the peace that we are talking about. It says, in the face of this, he says, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it, rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. Rejoice. The word rejoice in the scripture means calmly happy. Be calmly happy in the Lord. In the Lord refers to supreme authority. He's the one who has supreme authority. So calmly rejoice, calmly be happy in the one who has supreme authority. That's how we have peace. We understand that he is in supreme authority of everything that we do. Those agendas that are overloaded, those people who respond in ways that cause those agendas to come into question, people who respond in attacking sort of way, he is in supreme authority over all of our lives. And he says that we're to be calmly happy in the fact that he is in control of all things. The Lord is near, it says, and this is the bit I really want to focus in on today. Be gentle, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, Paul could have been writing to the Philippian church about the day of the Lord is coming near. Like, hang on, people, because I know you're under persecution. I know you're getting pushed from side to side and you're feeling stretched and you're feeling stressed. But just hang on, because the day of the Lord is near. Lord is near. He will return one day and this pressure cooker life will be gone and you will reside with him in some heavenly utopia. So hang on, the Lord is near. We're closer to that day tomorrow than we are today. The Lord is near. He could have meant it like that. But I think he's talking about something a little bit different in the fact that the Lord is actually near. The Lord is with us. Matthew uses the same phrase in the book of Matthew, and he uses it in the terminology that the Lord is near, as in the Lord is at the door waiting. That's the terminology. And I think Paul is using that terminology here, as the Lord is near. He is right with us. He is in close proximity to us when we are stretched, when we are feeling frustrated, when we are feeling overloaded by our own agendas and the things that have been put on us. The Lord is near. That's good news, is it not? For any one of us here today that's feeling like sometimes in life I'm feeling stretched, I'm feeling overloaded, that to-do list never gets any smaller, the pressures of life never get any less, my responses aren't what I want them to be, guess what? The Lord is near. Calmly be happy in the supreme authority of the Lordship. The Lord is near. That is good news. So don't worry, he is right here. The one who is supreme in authority is right here. He's ready to come in. But if you're like me, if anything I've shared about me today resonates with you, the war is not with another nation. The war is not even with the man down the road. The war is actually with the person who resides with me. The war is with me. My war about peace is actually with myself. And so as I read this, my lack of peace has a lot to do with me. And that's the space that I'm reading from in today. I've just misplaced my book. There it is. No, it's not. John Mark Comer, which is a book that I'm reading at the moment. It says this: all my worst moments are when I am in a hurry. Love, joy, peace are incompatible with hurry. I'll read that again. All my worst moments are when I'm in a hurry. Love, joy, peace are incompatible with hurry. So I want to read you a little bit today about a hurry test. And see if you are like me. Comer says that there's 10 signs to living a hurried life where your hurried sickness is evident. So don't yell out when I say it. Don't go, yeah, that's me. Like, just relax in it. Just slowly count some of these off. Irritability. You get mad, frustrated, or just annoyed way too easily. Hypersensitivity. All it takes is a minor comment to hurt your feelings, a grumpy email to set you off. Restlessness. When you actually do try to slow down and rest, you just can't relax. Non-stop activity. You don't just know when to stop, or worse, you can't stop. Emotional numbness. You just don't have the capacity to feel another person's pain, or your own pain for that matter. Out of order priorities. You feel disconnected from your identity and your calling. Lack of care for your body. You don't have time for the basics, sleep at night, daily exercise, healthy eating. Escapist behavior, when we're too tired to do what actually is life-giving for our souls. We each turn to our distraction of choice, overeating, binge-watching, browsing social media. Slippage of spiritual disciplines. When you get overbusy, the things that are truly life-giving for your soul are the first to go, rather than the things that you first go to. Isolation. You feel disconnected from God, others, and your own soul. There's 10 things that Comer says are evidence of hurry sickness. Now, if you add those up, if you're like me, you add it up and you're well over 5, you're probably running too hard. You're probably putting too much in the day. You're probably doing too much. And you know, the more success that you have, the more success that you taste in life, the greater that this happens. The greater we try to keep at that pace, the greater we try to keep things under control, the greater we try to keep things moving in the same direction, the greater when other people respond in ways that we feel attacked, that we respond back agitatedly. The more you taste success, the more you do. And you get caught in a cycle. And I was thinking about this cycle today. You get busy. You're rushed. You become anxious and worried about that. You become frustrated when that's challenged. You become snappy. Then you have to take the time to apologize. And you think, this is just going around and round and round and round. I want you today, if any of that resonates with you, this is not meant to make you feel melancholically worse about life. This is to say, the Lord is near. If you're in that space today, Paul is speaking to the church at Philippi, and he speaks to us and he says, the Lord is near. And he gives some opportunity to rest in him. The peace is Jesus. That's the beauty of the gift. And into that, Paul says, rejoice in the one who has supreme authority. The Lord is near. He's at the door. He's waiting to come in. Don't be anxious about anything, but allow him to give you peace. again, if you're like me, you hear something like that and you think, oh, great, I just need to add something else into this agenda that's already full of life and it's already under pressure, and I've just got to do more to receive this peace. I actually have to stop and busy. Here is the, most of us are too busy to let him in and too occupied to sit with his presence. But Matthew writes it like this, and I want to read you Peterson's version, this invitation from God. Here's the good bit. If you're feeling like that, you're probably the same as about 80% of people in the population today. But this is the invitation that God has. God is such a caring and nurturing God. He doesn't want to leave me there. He actually says, Pete, this is no good for your life. This constant rush, this constant hurriedness that leaves you feeling a lack of peace, it's actually not good. So I've got an answer, and I want to invite you into something. That's good, isn't it? Who likes an invitation? Oh, man, when someone rings me up and says, hey, do you want to just come over and watch the cricket and we're just going to sit on the couch and we're just going to eat cake and drink coffee and watch people whack balls around the earth? It's like heaven. It's an invitation, but it's so much deeper than an invite to T20. This is what it says in the message. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let these words wash over you again. This is an invitation. It's come out of the envelope. It's beautifully presented and it's got your name on it. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out? Come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to tackle a real rest, how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. It's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, if you want to read that at home. You see, peace is found when our attention is on him. When our rhythms are reset by him. Peace is found when our attention is set on him and our rhythms are reset by him. Rejoice in the one who is in supreme authority, for he is near. So how do we do that in a world that's spinning, where we're raising families, where we've got work, where there's more work to do than there are workers there, when you're pushed to the limit? How do we do that? The idea is not to walk away from here and go, right, I just need to create another thing to do on my to-do list and make sure I get up earlier and spend more time there or do this or do it. It just adds another list. No, we need to find about the presence of God in the midst of that space. I want to add it, just give you a few practical things that we can do. You know those moments where you go to pick your kid up from swimming and or from basketball or from soccer or whatever you go to pick them up from, and you get there and they're always running a little bit late and you're kind of 15, you've got 15 minutes up your sleeve. And in that space, if you're like me, you turn the radio up, you get your phone out and you scroll FB just to make sure that you haven't missed out anything from the 10 minutes before when you scrolled FB. You put some news on, you fill the space with noise because you actually just don't want to think about anything. In that moment, in that 5 minutes that you've got, I want you to do something that, I want to encourage you to do something that will send the person next to you into a weird spin. Just hop out of your car, shut the door, and stop. Stand outside your car because you can't reach anything that's in your car, and just breathe. See what you can hear. Is it a bird? Is it a kid playing in a playground? What can you hear? When you get home from work and you shut the door and you know that as soon as you go through that front door, there's going to be all types of things happening, people going everywhere, people needing food, people annoyed because of something you said in the morning before you left for work, and you know that that's going to happen as soon as you get through that door. Stop the car, close the car, and before you get to the door, take the long walk past the garden bed put your nose in the flower and smell it. Take a notice of the wonder that the God keeps this plant growing and going through the cycles of life without anyone else doing anything. And he does that for your life as well. When you're overloaded in the office and you think, I'm going to grab that Sui Min and I'm going to put it next to my Mac and I'm just going to eat my way through lunch because there's just too much to stop. And often there is too much to stop in that moment. Before you get back to your desk with your Sui Min, walk out your front door and walk down to the corner and then walk back and get your Sui Min and do your work. Take 5 minutes just to breathe and to change your focus from the hurried, the busy, what about, and allow the peace of God to come in. So what am I going to do in those 15 minutes, Pete, in those 5 minutes? Well, Paul actually speaks about it here in Philippians, where we're reading about today. He says this, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice and the God of peace will be with you. What do I do, Pete? Pete, what do? I ask God, God, what do I think about? Think about whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When I stop for those 5 minutes, allow yourself to breathe. Allow yourself to put your minds on those things that God is doing, to be thankful for them. Allow your space to be taken up with that. Very soon, that rushed and hurried will come flooding back as soon as you step out of that moment. So a lot of that stuff has to be dealt with. But we can allow the peace of God to permeate from us in those spaces rather than us being controlled by those spaces. As I said before, this is something I'm growing in right at this very, very moment. I'm speaking today as someone who has this together. And so today I want to give you a gift. I'm going to invite Michael to come up. Michael's just going to play and Abitha's going to put a screenshot up. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put in practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And what I'm going to give you is a gift of time right now. We're going to allow 5 minutes. To some of us, that's going to seem like eternity. To some of us, it's going to feel like the best gift you've ever had. And for 5 minutes, we're just going to allow Mike to play, and I want you to turn your mind to those things that are good, those things that are noble, those things that are righteous, and allow the peace of God, the supreme righteous one who is near, to minister peace into your soul. Let's take 5 minutes. rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.